We're going to talk about 20 and counting. Many of you in this room are familiar with the names Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar. Their approach to family involved in having as many as children as God would allow them to have. And at last count, it was 19 biological children. 10 boys, 9 girls, all of whose names begin with the letter J. Can you even imagine? They're probably best known for the reality TV series that aired for 10 seasons on the Learning Channel, TLC for short. It was first called 17 and Counting. That's when they had 17 children. Then 18 and Counting, and then 19 and Counting. How many of you have ever watched these shows or reruns on the... Okay, great. Several of you have. Well, the show averaged in the last season on a new episode airing in 2015, 2.3 million views per new episode, putting it in the Nielsen TV ratings in the top 25 programs on the air. Until it was canceled, suddenly, May 2015. Now, what does a large, iconic American family have to do with a church anniversary? More than you might think. Do you know that family that I've just described for you? They're known for birthing multiple children into the world. And the church is responsible for birthing multiple children into the kingdom of God. You see the connection? I hope you do. I'm trying to be clear. And when it comes to this church particularly, I want you to think about this church as a family. You know, some ministries might want you to think of them as, you know, a big box that it's got all these different, you know, small groups and special interest groups. And, you know, it's kind of like a mall for the Christian. I don't want you to think of our church that way. I want you to think of it as a family where you belong, where you can grow, and where ultimately you're sent out to make a difference in the world. That's a family. Now, how does a church of 20 years go on another 20 without being canceled? The answer is simple. We must stay on mission. So today I want to isolate two components. Honestly, the subject is bigger than what I can do in 20 minutes. I'm going to do my best and give you two components of a church that's on mission. Because this passage, Isaiah 55, you might think it doesn't apply to the church, but through Isaiah, God is telling the nation of Israel, you have a mission to introduce the nations around you to Jehovah. And that is the church's mission today, is to introduce the people around it to Jehovah God and to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you to embrace for the next 20 years the following two commitments. Number one, people must come to the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse number 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth or thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Now, do you see the invitation in this verse? Three times we're told to do what? Come. And this is the mission of the church. We are offering an invitation for people to come, hungry people, to come and eat without money. Boy, this makes a church, right? We offer all that we do for free. We don't charge anything. We're going to have a lunch. We're going to serve you in a bit. We're not going to expect any money for it. We serve people for free. Now, who are the clients that get the free lunch at the church? Verse number 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. For Israel, it was all the nations around them. As Hebrews, they referred to all the nations around them as Gentiles. Not Jew, you're a Gentile. And so all of these nations became the clients that God wanted them to reach with His truth. And understanding that they had to Even though they didn't know yet the Lord thy God, that was the ultimate goal. And that's our goal as a church, introducing people to the Lord. Now, how do we do this? Verse number 6, coming up on the screen, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, this verse, to seek the Lord, assumes something. It's very critical for us to get. It assumes something that most of the Bible assumes in other places as well. And that is this, that people are not okay without the Lord. Did you get that? Let me say it again. People are not okay without the Lord. It doesn't matter how nicely she dresses. It doesn't matter how nice he is. It doesn't matter what style of neighborhood they live in or the car they drive. If they don't know the Lord, this is what they need. Every person needs the Lord. The truth be told, the majority of people around us are ignorant of the fact that they need the Lord. Man, this is good times. We're having a party. We're drinking and having fun. We have enough money for ourselves, for our kids, and we can send them to college, and we can buy them their first house, and we can, you know, we're capable. But they're in ignorance of the peril that awaits them and the danger that is facing them on the other side of the grave. So why does the church exist? To call them out. To wake them up. To let them know. You need the Lord. Many gave testimony to the fact that this morning, how our church has tried to introduce people along the road of life to the fact that they need the Lord. Whether or not they're waiting for the message, whether or not they drive past that sign for 12 months and don't hear the voice of God, we're still out there throwing the seed. Wake up! Wake up! People need the Lord! You know, why is the Bible so insistent that people need the Lord? I mean, can't we just fix other things about them, make them happier people, more financially stable? Lyndon B. Johnson, eliminate poverty. You know, we'll just do it. Why is the Bible so insistent? Because the Bible understands that people are fundamentally flawed at the core of their being. Are you listening to me? Every person in this room is fundamentally flawed at the core of your being. Now, the Bible calls it your flesh or calls it your sin nature, but we are driven in the opposite direction from God. And most of us spend most of our lives running from God. And the whole time he's like, no, honey, don't run away from me. Please come to me. And ye shall find rest for your souls. You know, getting people to the Lord is the church's sole responsibility. I'm going to say a lot. Hang on. Coming to the Lord, that mission is the church's sole responsibility. What do I mean? Well, there's no other organization on the planet that addresses people's most basic problem. That is the evil sin nature that lies within. Sure, there are many nonprofits who are doing a lot of good. You know, there are people helping the poor and the homeless and those without access to good education and those who need internet and those who need clean drinking water. But no other organization has as its chief mission or objective to get people to the Lord. What I'm trying to say is if this church ever gets sidetracked, if the church ever closes up, if people give up on the church, there is no other organization on planet Earth that is addressing the most basic need that people need. And that is a right relationship with God. This church is important. So as it is, it remains important if we stay on mission. We people must come to the Lord. Other groups can address humanitarian needs, but no other organization can address the needs of the human heart. Why? We must keep moving. We must get people to the Lord because time is running out. Verse number 6 on the screen said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It assumes that the door will not always be open for people to find the Lord or to come to him. Remember Noah and his ark? Noah builds a large ark at the command of the Lord, right?
he's 120 years in preaching, and then God says it's time for you to go inside the ark with all those who will come. And he's a real effective preacher. He got six other people in addition to his wife to go on the boat with him. He had eight in total in that church, all right? And they go in, and God closes the door. And when God closes the door, it's still another 7 days before the rains start falling and the floods start lifting. And then people went in the door, and the door is closed, and it's too late. So we must stay on mission. We must invite people to come to the Lord while there is time, because time is running out. And not only that, we must also do it while there is mercy. In verse number 7, the text says, in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. It's an invitation to repentance. The wicked have to forsake their way. We must invite them to come to the Lord because they're walking away and they need to be turned around. And how is it possible that God would let wicked people come back? And it's because of his mercy. So we must issue the call for people to come to the Lord while there's still mercy. Now, who's going to invite them to repent? Who's going to invite them and stand up and say, you ought to come to the Lord because there's great mercy? And the answer is you, and the answer is me. This is why we exist. We call men and women to come to the Lord at a time while he might be found. You know what we ought to be? Those of us who've experienced repentance and forgiveness and experience the mercy of God, we should be walking infomercials. Let me tell you something. I got this great product here. Let me open up my coat and I'll sell you this. What? No, I'm going to sell you Jesus. And this is the reason this is the Romans Road, or it's the colors of the wordless book. Let me sell you this because it works. It worked for me. I come home and I'll show you what it did to my home. It fixed the relationship with my marriage, and it fixed my relationship with my kids. And you know what? It got me out of my old lifestyle, and now I'd never go back. And hey, Jesus, come to him. This is what it'll do for you too. Walking infomercials for the Lord Jesus. That's what we ought to be. This is our mission. So I'm going to ask you, are you on mission? Kind of pretended to be a street vendor for a second, but you know what? You don't need to have something printed on the inside of your coat, but you ought to have tracts in your pocket. You ought to have something on your lips ready to say when people ask you about the hope that lies within. Number two, am I out of time yet? Almost. Number two. People must hear from the Word. People must come to the Lord. The second part of our mission, people must hear from the Word. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth, making it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So he compares the Word to rain. This is important. I want you to see it in the text. For as, it's like this. It's a simile, right? We're saying something is similar to something else. What's the rain like? Well, it's like, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So the word is like rain. Letter A, it refreshes like rain. You know, when rain comes down, you know how this works, right? Or snow comes down, verse number 10. It doesn't come down and make it all pretty and then one day, you know, just kind of floats up and disappears, right? The water that comes down out of the sky goes into the ground, causes it to bring forth, and seeds grow, and plants come out, and agriculture, and food grows, and all of that. That's the way, because the water is sent down from heaven to refresh the ground. The Word is like that. The Word is sent down from God, from heaven, and it's meant to refresh your soul and cause you to grow and sprout and bud and become a beautiful plant to the Lord. That's what the Word does. And so part of our mission is not just to get people to come to the Lord, but afterwards is to get those people to hear from the Word. That's why we have services. Well, you guys are always doing church, and every time you do something, you got the Bible open. For crying out loud, what are you guys doing? No, we're trying to stay on mission. The mission, right? It is to get people to the Lord and get those people to hear from the Word. That's why we're doing what we do. And you know this intuitively, like if we get a rain at the beginning of the monsoon, we don't go, yippee, we're done for the year. Right? You want more rain to come. Because as soon as the rain falls, and just within a few days, the sun comes back out. I think that's the next sign. The burning sun parches all the ground, and everything begins to dry up, and we need more rain. You know, Christians are like that. One rainstorm isn't going to do them. One sermon ain't going to do them. One Sunday a month ain't going to do them. They got to be refreshed. They need more rain because the ground of life and living life and family and work and school and so many things dry us out. And what do we want? We need refreshment. Isn't that true with you? You come to church and you're just like, I'm waiting for a word from the Lord. Feed my soul. Jesus, speak to me today. That's what I need. Ground of your heart does grow dry as the weeks go on, and so we need fresh rain from the Lord. That's why you come back each Sunday, don't you? You want a fresh word from God because the word refreshes. It also prospers. Verse number 11 says, and so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God, as it goes forth, prospers under God's power. Let's come back to rain for a moment. You think about rain, right? Rain is wonderfully refreshing, but sometimes it comes too fast, doesn't it? And when it does, you get these powerful torrents, just water rushing and sometimes sweeping cars along with it, or channeling courses of water through neighborhoods and even taking down houses. Because the word can be refreshing, but it's also very powerful. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The word of God is quick, that's lively and powerful. So this church's mission is to preach the word. This church's mission is to what? Preach the word. This church's mission is to, we preach Christ. We want to unleash the power of God's Word. We believe there's a supernatural power that is unleashed every time this book is open. You know, I say things and you forget them, and that's okay. But God says things you ought not forget. His words pack a punch. And what He says needs to be hung on to. You know, when we open this book, the power is released. This church and the message of this book can do more than any self-help class, self-help book, or psychiatrist will ever be able to do. There's a supernatural power in this book. So when it's brought to bear on people's lives, it's able to turn people around, transform them from the inside out. Many of you are living testimonies to that. Guideposts told about a South Sea Islander who proudly displayed his Bible to a World War II soldier that was on his island. The GI said, the GI said to the islander, we've outgrown that sort of thing in our country. And the native smiled back at the GI and he said, well, you know, it's a good thing we haven't. If it wasn't for this book, you'd already been a meal by now. So after 20 years, we need to renew our commitment to the mission. What is it? People need the Lord. Number two, people need the Word. We're committed to that. Are you? I began today by telling you about the Duggar family, the reality TV program called 19 and Counting. I mentioned earlier that the series stopped counting in May of 2015. When one of the Duggar sons, unfortunately, was arrested for being involved in criminal activity that became front page news for weeks in this country. This one misdirected son got off mission, got away from the Lord, and tarnished the family name. And the program was canceled. If a TV show can get canceled after 20 or 10 seasons, how can our church expect to survive if we get off mission? Let's pause for prayer.